I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. Welcome to Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers out there. Today, at some point, Ron Morris from the Mississippi Libertarian Party will be joining us to take a look at world events. It's always interesting to have somebody who kind of sees through it, and Ron's had such a similar path that I had. I was a Kool-Aid-drinking Republican neocon warmonger myself through the 1990s and into the early 2000s before I woke up and realized the insanity of it, yet there are so many people that are still there. I like to chalk it up to youth. We're not really very smart. It's why I disagree with Nancy Pelosi, who wants to lower the voting age to 16. I wasn't smart enough to think my way out of a paper bag, apparently, when I was 28. So those of us who have had that journey and have kind of woken up to the insanity of what we're doing, you know, I look at, I talk a lot about foreign policy here, and for many, many different reasons. Number one is empires fail. We have built an empire here in this country. It will bankrupt us. There is not a doubt about that, the way that we are spending money. We cannot maintain an empire. We want low taxes, but we want an empire at the same time on the conservative side of things. I'm on conservative radio to be what I believe is a little bit of a counter voice to try to convince conservatives that a lot of the things they've been led to believe are conservative are not actually conservative things. I talk about the two-party propaganda, and that's what it is. Each party is convinced against what their core principles, what they would say they're for. You talk to any conservative on the street and say, you know, why are you a conservative? Well, I believe we need a small government. The government doesn't solve any of our problems. We need to get the government out of our lives. Yet conservatives, by and large, have become in love with large government. They love the war on drugs. They love the fact you've got an apparatus set up, a multi-billion-dollar apparatus employing hundreds of thousands of people to stop people from possessing a plant. They want small, limited government, but they don't have any problems with $1 trillion a year spent on our military apparatus, which has accomplished nothing, if you haven't noticed. Now, for a fraction of that, we would be entirely secure here at our homes. If we had what was truly national defense, it would cost us a fraction of what we've got, and we would be just as safe, and I will argue much safer in the United States if we focused on defense rather than this empire building we're doing. So conservatives say, well, I'm for small, limited government, but they cheer the next war. They say, I'm for restrained spending. These guys in Washington, D.C. spend too much money. And then someone comes out and says, well, we're going to tack on another $100 billion to rebuild our military, and conservatives, yay! They don't ever stop and ask the question, well, what did they do with the last $4 trillion we've given them over the past few years? And these things are not, they're not conservative views. You've been tricked into these things, and that's what I really believe part of my job is, because I see these things over and over and over again. And I think, you know, how many examples of failed policies do you need to see before you realize that these politicians are making money? They are collecting campaign donations off of convincing you that it's okay to spend $1 trillion on military spending. And what do you have to show for it? You know, I was listening to some stuff yesterday, and this is something that will trigger some people because they can't think their way out of a paper sack. This is not anti-military. Obviously, we've got the most professional, powerful military in the world. And yet, what's the last war we won? Now, that's not anti-military. Obviously, we're capable of going in and taking over and bombing and destroying any country on the planet pretty much at will. What you don't understand is that the people who plan these wars, the people who get us involved in these things, they don't want to win any wars. The success for them is in maintaining the spending, into keeping the wars going. We're still in Iraq. We are still in Iraq. What is this, 15 years? 16 years coming up on in Iraq? You think we couldn't have handled Iraq during the past 16 years? Well, it's Obama pulled all our troops out. No. Obama was a puppet of the exact same machine. This machine that gets us into endless wars does not know a party. It just knows profits. And I've already got it pulled up. I've got my quote sheet pulled up. Don't make me pull it out. You want to hear what George Washington would have had to say about this? You want to hear what Thomas Jefferson would have had to say about this? You want to hear what Ben Franklin would have had to say about this? See, I listened yesterday during one of our breaks. We've got Todd Starnes on. He's a Fox News commentator. And he came on and he did a story yesterday. It was during my Hump Day Health segment, so I didn't comment on it then, but I'll comment on it now. It was about some of these high schools. I believe it was high schools, it might have been colleges, who were demanding that the name of the Colonials team be changed, I think was his example. And when I hear conservatives say, oh, did you see that? They're trying to take down statues of Thomas Jefferson. Why do you care? Why do you care about these things? If you won't heed the words of Thomas Jefferson, then you must not think he was really of any import. Because Thomas Jefferson's warned us about a ton of things that are being done right now by both parties, but the Republican Party, conservatives like to throw around the founders. They gave us this great experiment in freedom of small, limited government. Look at the success it gave us. Yes, you're exactly right. And then we had, in the past century, we had politicians come tell us that, well, the founders, they keep talking about how great the founders are, how we should really appreciate the founders in our great constitution that separates us from the rest of the world. But we got to do a few things that they probably wouldn't approve of, like Medicare Part D that the Bush administration and Republican Congress passed, the largest entitlement since LBJ. And when it comes to the wars and foreign entanglements and sanctions and all of these other things that the founding fathers warned us about, we just ignore them. So why are we fighting to keep their statues up? Why are we fighting to keep any vestige of the founding fathers? Why do conservatives who champion all of this big government in so many areas, why do you pretend to love the founding fathers too? I guess it may be just ignorance. I don't know if people just don't understand what the founding fathers were about. We cheer the idea of our tough law enforcement and the FBI getting MRAPs so that they can roll up into a suburban neighborhood and kick in a door and take somebody down because they're growing a plant. But we love the founding fathers. One of the beauties of the United States is, supposed to be, we have the freedom to do great things, and to be honest with you, we have the freedom to do stupid things. We're human beings. That's what freedom is. If you don't want your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your aunt, your uncle, your best friend consuming a plant, then that's your job. Convince them not to go in there and grow and consume this plant. Show them a better way. That's what freedom is. You know, it's like this. I've been listening to this abortion debate. A lot on the left are saying, well, where's the money going to come from with you force these young girls who got pregnant by accident and they can't raise their children. Who's going to step up and pay for that? And I mean, even in the, I hear people say, well, maybe they shouldn't have gotten pregnant in the first place. Hey, that's a good point. But accidents happen. Kids are kids. People make stupid choices. But I never even hear it said, well, isn't that what friends and family are for? Now, the default now is to look to the government on everything, and it's both sides of the aisle. I mean, I'm just watching it with just complete disbelief, although I have to remember I bought into it a while back. But I was young and stupid. I know people in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, their 70s, their 80s that should have gotten some level of wisdom during the years who were just chomping at the bit to knock off that socialist Nicolas Maduro. That Marco Rubio, he's a tough guy. We're exerting American leadership around the world by toppling more governments. And we've put Kim Jong-un in his place, and we're putting Maduro in his place, and we got Iran on notice. We are finally really exerting American leadership. I'm going to talk about it today. You want to talk about leadership? Three countries yesterday left Iraq. There's not even a coalition of the willing for this thing. That's not leadership. People are sick of us. You know, after 9/11, the approval rate for America and Americans around the world, and I can't remember the group that did the polling on it, was something like 98%. Understandably. The United States had faced down the Soviet Union, emerged from the Cold War as kind of the cowboy with the white hat on. And what we've done since then, since 1990, is go around and bully the world. And conservatives, unfortunately, guys, come on. I want to say I'm not mad at you, but I kind of am. People don't like it when you invade their countries. And other countries see it and they say, why does America get to go invade countries? We would consider that a war crime if Hitler did it. We would consider it a war crime if Soviet Union did it. Seemed like that's what we were fighting in the Cold War, was this expansionist communist regime. But somehow Americans are bought up into this idea that, hey, it's our way or the highway. This is American leadership. Now the approval rate on the United States is somewhere, I'm going to say 32%. I think I'm being generous. It may be 23%. I may be superimposing the numbers. From 98% down to 32%. And what we're doing right now is not improving it. Just yesterday, and probably the most significant sign so far that we could be headed for yet another major war in the Middle East, multiple European allies of the United States are rapidly pulling their forces from Iraq and the Persian Gulf region on fears they could get unwillingly sucked into a confrontation with Iran. Let me see what countries. As of Wednesday morning, the countries of Spain, Germany, and the Netherlands have suspended military support operations in Iraq, citing rising U.S.-Iran tensions. And further, top Iraqi diplomat, get this. You listening? A top Iraqi diplomat told Reuters at a press conference in Moscow, quote, Iraq is a sovereign nation. We will not let the U.S. to use our territory for any military operations against Iran. There's your $3 trillion nation building in Iraq. I said, you're not launching from us. This is a country that was diametrically opposed to Iran, was the counterbalance to Iran in the Middle East. We knock it over, and now they're like, I got to tell you, Iraq's telling us we kind of side with the Iranians. You're not coming out of our airfields here. That's your $3 trillion nation building right there, courtesy George Bush and Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and John Bolton. These are not conservative ideals. They're just not. And I'm the only person that's going to be on this radio station, in this radio market, telling you this. And it's not comfortable. I can feel people changing the dials right now. I'm a patriot. Are you? You're destroying the country with our support for these kinds of things. $1 trillion a year. We're running $1.3 trillion deficits a year right now. If we slip into a recession, it'll be what? $2-3 trillion a year? You're spending your children's and your grandchildren's money, dooming them to huge, catastrophic financial problems in this country so that we can satisfy some kind of a bloodlust and some kind of an ego thing that we're the toughest and we can exert our will anywhere. All right, I'm going to do it. When I come back, Founding Fathers quotes. I've got to have some reinforcements. Ron Morris isn't here yet. I'll tell you what the Founding Fathers thought about all this expansionism, all of this war. And then you make the decision. Well, Mike, that was back in the 1700s. They never could have just even imagined what's going on in Yemen. They can't imagine that we have to give the Saudi Arabians hundreds of billions of dollars of weapons to bomb the poorest country in the Middle East. Donald Trump told us why we had to do that. Founding Fathers, they might have been okay, but they're no Trump. I mean, that's really where we are. And it's the same with Bush or Obama or any of them. Now, wait, I take that back. Conservatives would hold Barack Obama accountable for these kinds of things. one of the only decent things that Barack Obama did in his whole time in office, and it may have been flawed, but he signed this treaty that stopped the Iranians from getting a nuclear weapon. And I'm sure it wasn't the greatest thing. And if you give me that line about, well, we gave them hundreds of billions of dollars, then you're foolish. You're kind of silly. That was their money. We didn't give them anything. We unfroze their assets. But I know that the propaganda is strong, and it's easier to turn me off than face the truth. Be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Apparently, I'm missing really the big news. While I waste all this time talking about the potential to start a brand new Middle East war costing trillions of dollars and killing more of our kids and more innocent Iranians and everything else, I'm wasting my time talking about that while the media is talking about Beto O'Rourke and his live-streamed haircut. I got to tell you, Americans, what's up with us? When did we become so soft? You know, what's interesting to me about this stuff, and I don't know if this is good radio or not, to be honest with you. I kind of insult our entire society, but I kind of want people to not want to be a part of that and to get out of the flock of everybody that thinks exactly the same way. I don't know if pointing out the absurdity of it and insulting it is an effective way to do that. Ron Paul was more statesmanlike than I am, and he really was one of the ones that kind of woke me up. I mean, I was already kind of there. When I saw the Republicans pass Medicare Part D, which was the prescription drug benefit, and I'm sure people listening to this show right now benefit from it, and, you know, God love you, I understand. They're screwing us on the pharmaceutical prices. You've got a way to do it that's affordable. I can't fault you for enjoying the benefit, but let's not pretend it was a conservative thing. It was the largest entitlement since LBJ. It's one of the things bankrupting our country. But we don't pay attention to that. But Beto got a haircut. I just don't know how we got so simple. I look at these countries that pulled out of Iraq. Now, to a lot of people, they will hear that and say, as a matter of fact, I mean, I know some people think this. As a matter of fact, I think I clipped a comment from one of the stories. Yeah, it was a comment under this story about some of the European countries pulling troops out of Iraq. And somebody commented, Europe sucks once again. That's brainwashing that did that. A lot of people will think, well, these are cowardly countries. They won't stand with us. We're ready to fight. And we're the ones that are taking on the problems of the world. And these countries don't have the stomach for it. Let me pose it possibly a different way. Maybe the citizens of Spain, Germany, the Netherlands, maybe they're not as easily scared as the American people are. See, we're scared of everything. The people. Right? You're told that North Korea is an existential threat to the United States, and we've got kids in San Francisco and probably as far east as Austin, Texas, doing duck and cover drills because John Bolton and the rest of the media and the deep state tells you that they've got a missile that can strike here and strike there, and it's getting deeper. I mean, if we don't do something soon, none of it makes any common sense why this guy would just arbitrarily launch against the strongest military in the world. But so we duck and cover. But, Mike, Iran's sponsoring a bunch of terror groups. We got to go in and get them before they get us. Are we this easily spooked? Are we this easily scared? Not to mention the fact we've got this huge oceans two of them on either side of us. Do you know how hard, you know what a Herculean feat it would be to even lay a finger on us? Now, I'm not saying there can't be terrorist attacks. And as I say, you come after us, we come after you hard. The funny thing is, though, I say that Saudi Arabia funded the 9/11 attacks, and we haven't done anything but be friendly to them and sell them a bunch more weapons. I mean, this is just bizarro world. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Mike, you've hit on two things that are pet peeves of mine. If I could address both of them, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Come on.
All right. Plan D Medicare.
Yeah.
I'm 69 years old. I'm on Plan D. I've selected the plan available in my area that is the lowest cost to me.
Yeah.
And even then, even with the premiums that I pay monthly and the supposed discount that I pay for my maintenance drugs and my wife's maintenance drugs, they cost more than they do at a local pharmacy chain.
Holy cow. It's almost...
And I can't withdraw from Plan D without paying a penalty if I ever want to rejoin it. They got one of those Obamacare type penalties. If you're not a member, you have to pay.
Holy cow. It's almost like, I mean, I hate to be cynical, but it's almost like the pharmaceutical companies have got some sway over our government, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was such a scam, and I don't know if you've ever followed the story. I've played the clip a couple of times, this 60 Minutes piece that showed that it was like 12 sponsors of this, mostly Republican, a couple of Democrats that put this Medicare Part D through, and within like a year, 10 of them had moved and gone to pharmaceutical companies. The leader of it was Billy Towson from Louisiana. He ended up, within a year after Medicare Part D passed, he left office, I believe. I don't even think he served out his term. I'm not positive about that. But he ended up going out and becoming head of the pharma group at $2 million a year after he passed that piece of legislation. And in it, it says you can't negotiate, even though Medicare, Medicaid are the largest purchasers of pharmaceuticals in the world, they can't negotiate discount pricing.
Well, if they would eliminate that clause right there, think of all the money it would save both the government for having to subsidize this thing and people like myself who has to buy it. But let me give you some real world facts, figures, money wise.
All right.
There's one particular prescription that I can get via mail order or through a local pharmacy, and a nationwide pharmacy chain that has a number of local outlets, that costs me $134 a month. Now, I can go to another pharmacy that is in a grocery store that people normally don't think of as being a pharmacy, and that same $134 90-day script is 12 bucks.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, somebody's negotiating with somebody.
Yeah, well, the thing is, probably when you moved out into this little pharmacy thing, you got it somewhere free market. You know, there's somebody's doing some negotiation. It's just the big government plans is where the politicians have to pay off the pharmaceutical companies that have six lobbyists for every member of Congress. And
yeah.
So they prop them up there. But if we were ever to get out into real free, and this is why I hate when Republicans say they're going to repeal Obamacare and then they throw that replace on top of it. That just means that the lobbyists get their snout right back in our health care again. It just needs to be repealed and put the free market in charge of it. The same way that flat screen TVs 5 years ago were $2,000 and now they're $199, you know?
Right.
So. Yeah, it is. It's a scam. It's horrible, and it's not conservative. I don't know how the Republicans got away with that, but they certainly did.
Well, on another matter, I was around when Dwight Eisenhower was president. I'm old as dirt, and if anybody ever understood the military-industrial complex, it would have had to have been Eisenhower.
Yeah,
I mean he was a supreme Allied commander of our armed forces, and he saw the tremendous buildup of the defense industry in World War II. And he recognized the tremendous money that was flowing through that industry into the pockets of people that were building the necessary things, you know, the tanks, guns, whatever.
Right.
But after that was over with, they continued to build.
Right.
And he saw that. And when he left office, he said, you people out there, you need to beware of these defense contractors.
You're
beware
exactly right.
The military-industrial complex.
Yeah, and as you
we
say.
Are right in the middle of it, And they're driving our government. And like the guy you were talking about, General Jack Keane, leaves the military service and he goes to work for General Dynamics.
As do all of them that are on the major networks. They're all lobbyists. They're all on boards of Raytheon and Lockheed Martin. But they'd never disclose that on any of these networks. And Fox is the worst about it. But they're also on ABC, NBC, CBS. They never disclose that. These are all lobbyists talking up war. And the American people eat it up with a spoon.
I tell you what I do lately. I watch Fox, and every time somebody comes on, I got my laptop sitting close by, and I get on Wikipedia, and I find out who that guy really is and what his real angle is.
I do the same thing for that. Yeah, I do the same thing. I find it a tremendously interesting exercise, and it's not just the defense contractors, but with those, you got about a 95% hit rate. You're going to find something that this guy is going to profit off of the next war, yet that is never disclosed. Man, that's great. I'm glad to hear you do that. I appreciate the call. Got to run to a break. Thanks so much.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. We've got any of those people out there that have considered themselves patriots and followers of the Founding Fathers, but at the same time believe I'm completely wrong on the endless wars and that we are actually, what we are witnessing is just American leadership. If you feel that way, feel free to call in and point out the error of my ways. I do this from time to time just because, I don't know, I sit in this studio and question what I see. I look through media. I hear people talking. I engage with people, and I see people sitting by passively. You know, I think I started to make this point a second ago. Sometimes I ramble. I move on from one point to another. I apologize for that. That's not a good intellectual exercise. So we've got this thing in Alabama where they're essentially outlawing abortion, and conservatives and pro-life people are cheering for that, rightfully. But we don't seem to bridge that idea of pro-life to other aspects of U.S. policy. We all want to see an end to the carnage of the unborn child in the United States, but we are willing to unleash the carnage of these defense contractors in this deep state, people like John Bolton and Mike Pompeo. We're willing to unleash that on innocent children elsewhere. I'm not sure how biblically consistent that is. 500,000 Iraqi children died during the 1990s under Bill Clinton as he sanctioned and cut off Iraq from the rest of the world, stopping them from getting food and medicines. 500,000 children. So what Alabama did is great. But it seems like if you have this real moral compass, if you have this desire to protect the innocents, that should be a little broader. Thomas Jefferson, peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. Yet we will tell you from the mouths of the top of our government, administration after administration, that we stand no matter what with Israel and Saudi Arabia, with our NATO allies. And these things go on and on. Again, I say, you know, if we want to protect the statues of the founding fathers, if we want to, on the conservative side of things, if we want to honor them, and we should, they gave us a document that is the greatest that the world has ever seen for freedom. We don't even really understand what that means, because for the vast majority of us, we've never lived in a country where you didn't have as much freedom as you have now, yet we give out little pieces of this. We're giving the government little chunks of our freedom just about every year, whether it's the Patriot Act, the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, whether it is the freedom to go to work and earn a living and bring the dollars that we earn home to us and to our families. We're forced into contributing to the Social Security system, where if you die, there may be some modest benefit that goes to your spouse instead of the millions of dollars that you would have accrued in an account that you could have passed on to your heirs or to a charity or whatever. We've given them the ability to confiscate that wealth. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And we had such a running start in this country. And then they held it together. Now, it wasn't always pretty. You know, there was... the Wild West, people, land rushes. You know, freedom is not without its mess. It's just that it's preferable to the mess we have now and less freedom. Mark Twain said, "Patriotism is supporting your country all the time and your government when it deserves it." Now, Mark Twain was not a founding father. But he's got some great... he's got some great quotes, obviously an intelligent man. Here's a good one from Mark Twain. "Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect." And that's what we see. See, here's how it works. On the conservative side of things, unfortunately, and I keep saying this, but I was hoodwinked by them too, okay? I'm not sitting in judgment of anybody, but I want to wake other people up the way that I was woken up. And I would watch Fox News and I would cheerlead for whatever war was coming. And I took this macho pride and the ability of the military, which I had nothing to do with. I didn't serve. I never trained. You know, I didn't send my kids nothing. But still, I got this macho boost, which was really immature and silly, over the fact that we have this powerful military, even though I didn't contribute at all. But Fox News comes out and they gin up all this support. They bring on the Tom Cottons. And conservatives go, "Look at him. He's a strong, you know, I think he did serve. And Tom Cotton, I believe, has said that if we go into Iran, it's a two-month war. Yeah. Do you remember the people that said that about Iraq? 14 years ago? 15 years ago? 16 years ago? Do you remember the people who told you Iraq was going to be a cakewalk? We were going to be greeted as liberators. Tom Cotton's peddling the same stuff on Fox News, as are most Fox hosts, outside of probably Tucker Carlson. And so that puts you into the majority. You can go to cocktail parties. You can hang out with your other Fox News viewing friends. You can go on Facebook with your other Fox News viewing friends. And y'all can all pontificate about how American leadership is really showing those Iranian mullahs who's boss. And that, as Mark Twain says, if you are in that majority, I urge you to pause and reflect, particularly if you're a pro-life person. It's very interesting to me to see a pro-life conservative movement that is okay with death and carnage around the world. We label them collateral damage so that we don't have to feel ucky about it, I guess. Or we just imagine that every Muslim is hell-bent on the death of the United States and the infidel, which is obviously not true. Do you know why you're not a Muslim? Because, you know, however the soul gets into the body and however you end up on this earth to the parents that you have, you kind of won the lottery. You ended up in the United States. But had you been next in line or two or three back, you might have ended up being born in Fallujah. And your belief system would be different, right? The reason I'm not a Muslim is not because I was a really, really, really smart fetus or a really smart toddler. I just happened to be born to Christian parents in a Christian nation, by largely Christian nation, into the freest country on earth. I lucked up. But we think that anybody that's born, those fetuses and those toddlers over in the Muslim world, they're just evil from the moment they come out. So we can marginalize them and kill them. We can come out of our churches on Sundays and then meet in the parking lot. This actually happened to me. I was coming out of a church. It was a Methodist church that some friends had invited me to. I went to a service with them. We got out in the parking lot and people were talking about, this was years and years ago, probably in 2005. This is part of my waking up process, and I got out to the car. We were standing behind some cars just talking about, you know, just general stuff, probably some sports talk, and got around to something that was going on, whether it was the surge or whatever it was. And, you know, a couple of the guys were saying, man, we should just turn the whole Middle East into glass. And I remember that just really striking me, and I just thought, oh, my God, didn't we just come out of church? I didn't hear the message. I didn't hear, you know, you think about the Muslims, say, we're told that when, you know, three Muslims ever get together, all they do is talk about the plot of the death of all infidels on the planet. Yet I was listening to these people coming out of a Methodist church saying we should kill everybody who's not a Christian over in the Middle East. And what they actually said was, we should turn the Middle East into glass so we can quit talking about it. And I know I'm almost 95% sure that was probably a pro-life conservative. And I mean, I just remember that washing all over me thinking, wow, that's really odd. You've really got to do some mental gymnastics to be so pro-life here and so willing to kill other kids and women. Some bad guys, definitely. If we take out, you know, a huge city in the middle, you look at Syria. Syria's in rubbles. We just absolutely destroyed this country. And I guarantee you, we got some bad guys in the process. But there's a whole lot of people had to pack up the three or four things they could salvage from the rubble of their home, and they took a trip north, and then they're knocking on the door of Europe. They're like, hey, can we come in? It's pretty brutal back at our place, but we don't pay attention to that. Couple more. I'm just going to do a couple quotes, and I'm going to take a break. Here it is. James Madison, one of our founders. We would be up in arms if they were going to take down a James Madison statue, I'll bet you. Yet we will ignore these words when he said, if tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. So that's basically addressing things like the Patriot Act, which is we allowed the government to spy on us because we said everybody in the world's out to kill us. And there's a terrorist behind every bush. James Madison said no nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. Obviously, he's silly. And then these things just go on and on and on. You know, Thomas Jefferson. Oh, let me go down to George Washington real quick, and then I'll take my break. Because George Washington is interesting because George Washington was known as this general, right? Birth of the nation. This victorious general. I mean, very few people, I'd say maybe Thomas Jefferson, but probably George Washington, the most highly regarded. Overgrown military establishments are under any form of government inauspicious to liberty and are to be regarded as particularly hostile to Republican liberty. That's George Washington. That's General George Washington. Guard against the impostures of pretended patriotism. George Washington. And George Washington also said, and again, what would the outrage be from conservatives and constitutionalists and patriots around the country if someone were to dare go topple the statue of George Washington? But we don't listen to his words. We just have got this, we just create him as some kind of a deity, some kind of a mythical figure, but we don't really pay any attention to what he said because he said it is our true policy to steer clear of entangling alliances with any portion of the foreign world. And that's exactly what we do. We create all these alliances. We send our kids to fight and die for countries that have nothing to do with the security and the freedoms of the United States. I'll be right back. All
night with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
right into this world all alone. God takes your soul.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and as we have about every couple of weeks, we got Ron Morrison here from the Mississippi Libertarian Party. Ron, thanks for joining me again.
Absolutely. Love it.
Yeah, we got a... So the world's an interesting place right now, so we'll probably get to that next hour. We'll talk. I'd be interested to hear your take on these things.
You want to know how many wars are going to be in by the Christmas?
This is an ambitious plan. You know, we usually really try to focus with two or three, messing with a couple of countries in the same spot. Right. Have we got a globe anywhere in here? I'd like to put some pins in a globe. I mean, yeah. North Korea, Venezuela, and Iran.
Are we playing a game of Risk? Is that what we're doing?
Well, I have said, and I'll do it for next hour, I like to keep a legal pad up here in the studio because that's going to require a lot of our kids. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to send a lot of people to tackle all three of these at the same time, and it's going to cost a lot of money. And so I like to take a legal pad. I just draw a line down the middle, and I take volunteers that can call in the studio. They can either I like crowdfunding.
Right.
We could crowdfund this war. Or we could take volunteers, and I can make sure that I get them into the right place because they think that – I mean, seriously, if you're scared that Iran or North Korea or Venezuela is some kind of a threat to your freedoms in the United States, you should be willing to go yourself or send your children.
Absolutely, and they're not. Nobody's willing to go do that. They want to protect our homeland, and I agree.
Right, absolutely, yes.
But not fighting Venezuela that has nothing to do with America's threat at all.
Right. Well, that's what the great brainwashing is. Is that these things are all our duty and that John Bolton just cares about it. The sickness of it is listening to John Bolton and Mike Pompeo sit around and talk about how they love the people in these, that they're doing this all for the people in these countries.
There's a war machine at its finest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all.
And I mean, I guess people believe this now.
Well, they've bought into it for so long. I mean, you can't really blame them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's the insidiousness of propaganda. Here's one of my favorite quotes, and this is, and I'm going to close my quote page. I bring it out every now and then, but this is actually Carl Sagan. One of the saddest lessons of history is this. If we've been bamboozled long enough, we tend to reject any evidence of the bamboozle. We're no longer interested in finding out the truth. The bamboozle has captured us. It's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken. Once you give a charlatan power over you, you almost never get it back.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Well, for this show, I hope that's not true, but I am trying to take the power back from the charlatans and give it back to the American people because we have been bamboozled.
Well, and you can convert because I used to be a war hawk. I did.
Me too.
So,
all right, we'll do it on the other side. Stay with us.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me, and thank you to Ron Morris from Mississippi Libertarian Party is here. Yes, there is more than there are. I made a grammatical error there. There are more than two political parties in the country. Strangely enough, most people do not know that. So,
right. Well, I think Democrats and Republicans are the same party, so you might as well lump them in together.
Yes, there's just one party. I went to the Bahamas last week.
Oh, nice.
What was really cool about it, as a libertarian guy, we were driving through downtown, and the bus driver – no, this was, I guess, in a cab – and the cabbies will sometimes show you things that are of interest. Mm-hmm. And this woman said oh, right there, that's the prime minister's office. And then we went a little bit down the road, and she said, that's where the parliament meets. It was the size of, it was maybe the size of a Motel 6. I got so excited. I was like, wow. And they didn't meet that often. I can't remember what she said. It might have been,
it'd be more like a state legislature where they have a certain term or whatever. Right. But just the buildings were so small, and they were right there on the street. There was no – I didn't see anybody out there with semi-automatic rifles. You know, I watch – have you ever watched Veep, the Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
I haven't watched that, but I've seen the commercials for it.
Yeah, you ought to check it out. Yeah. I mean, you know, some people will recoil against it because she's very – you know, she's very liberal herself, and right. I think she's a Democratic. I just find it to be a funny show. I think right. she's a good actress, and that it's clever. It's vulgar. The insults they hurl at each other are brutal. But I like that stuff, so I'm right. Interested to watch it. I was watching it the other day, and a lot of times they're showing her going from place to place, and it's, you know, it's 12 cars mm-hmm. with security everywhere. And it always kind of bugs me. I think, you know, maybe if our government wasn't meddling in everybody's lives, if we weren't going around the world kicking butt everywhere, maybe we wouldn't, our presidents wouldn't constantly feel like they're under the threat of death.
They could ride a Vespa around, you know,
yes,
just
exactly.
waving to people.
and people around the world do that. Governors right. do that. You know, Gaddafi in Libya was supposedly this madman that was, you know, killing his own people. The guy walked down the street, as does Saddam Hussein would go out there. And, I mean, he was brutal. Now, I will, you know, Saddam right. Hussein might have been okay because everyone's scared to,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he's pretty evil.
Right, right. So there's different things. But it's just the pageantry of ours is that our elected officials, and this goes down to the Congress people. I mean, mm-hmm. hell, I think the mayor of Jackson has like six bodyguards.
Right. I mean, your mayor, like, why?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Maybe that tells you something. I mean, if I had to have bodyguards with me everywhere, it might mean I'm kind of a jerk.
You're doing something wrong.
Yes. Why does everybody want to kill
not,
me?
You're not living right, that's for sure.
Yeah, so the Bahamian government, and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure they've got their issues. I don't know anything about their, you know, their structure or whatever. Their city's not as, it's got some third world aspects to right. it, you know. So I'm not praising that, but I just loved the fact that it was like a fourplex or something like that right. was where their parliament met.
You mean more limited government than what we have?
yeah, limited people, limited, you know. But and that's what people here, I think, believe is that, well, yes, but look how many people we've got and all the things that we need to do and you know, all this other stuff. But what they don't understand is that I'm reading these Founding Fathers quotes. That our federal government's not supposed to be doing all those
They're
things.
They're saying don't do that.
Right.
Don't do these things.
Yeah.
Let people be themselves.
Right. So we've got to build all these huge buildings. I mean, I think Trump got real excited about – I don't know if he's done this. He was going to spend $1 billion to redo the FBI offices. He felt like they were dilapidated. And I thought, you know, isn't this the group of people that just tried to basically unseat you or sabotage your campaign or whatever? And
right.
he feels like it's just not up to the American standard that they're still living in. I think FBI, I think their office was built maybe in the 70s, possibly the 60s, but it's an older building.
Right.
But this idea that you got to go in and refresh it and get them all new stuff, I'm like, you know, that's just the beauty of spending other people's money.
Yeah, because you have no remorse, like buyer's remorse. You don't care. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Get whatever you want. I don't care.
Well,
the cappuccino machine? Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we got to attract the best and brightest to government. The embassy in Iraq just got bugged out. We just pulled out all of our bureaucrats to save their every precious hair in their head because
right.
we can't sacrifice any of our State Department bureaucrats. And I'm sure there's some good people. But my point is we're about to send in a bunch of middle class and poor kids to fight in a war over there. But we got to get our bureaucrats
right.
out. We don't want to risk them.
The kids that signed up to go to college for free. You know, a lot of
right.
like, you know, and now they're fighting somebody else's war.
Yeah.
And they want to put their lives in danger. When the people that signed up for these state jobs that are pretty cushy.
Pretty plum.
Yeah, pretty plum. And you know, they get pulled out. But, you know, we're going to send my neighbor's kid over there to the sandbox to go fight somebody else's war.
It gives you, for a college education, it puts a whole new meaning to college costing an arm and a leg.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean literally.
Yeah, and all the emotional factors that go into it. You know, I watched a lot of war documentaries and things like that, and you see the effects that happen to these people in their minds. Like with the World War II, people that came back. Like
yeah.
The night terrors that they would have.
You right.
know? And even the current end is to now. Like, there's people that are really, we're doing them a disservice by sending them over there and then not even taking care of them, which, why don't we take care of them by not sending them over there?
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. Mike Pompeo just went over there and went over to Iraq and talked to the Iraqi government and said, hey, you know, we need to make sure that we're secure over here and Iran may try to attack our troops. And, you know, this is a big hoopla. And really the Iraqi government's going, that sounds like a personal problem.
Yes.
We're not, you know, we're not starting this war with our neighbors. But if Mike Pompeo wants to keep those 5,000 kids safe, they'd probably be very safe in Des Moines and Jackson right. and Tallahassee at home with their family and their friends and their children and their moms and their dads
right.
rather than over there worrying if Mike Pompeo, the whale and the walrus, are about to start another conflict. Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely absurd that, and they're just picking fights with everybody. It's like, hey, let's throw a dart at the map.
Right.
Let's pick a fight.
Russia, China, Venezuela, Iran, North Korea. Who else are we crossways with right? Cuba. We've right. added Cuba back in.
I'm like, let them go. Like, Cuba, you're done.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I guess 60 years now? 60 right. years of isolation of Cuba hasn't worked. So you know what we've decided to do? Further sanction them.
Yes.
This will really show them.
Yeah, because they hadn't had sanctions before. Yeah, sure.
I mean, it is just insane. And again, the American people just, it's the Cubans that are propping up Maduro. Like, so? Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. It's two countries deciding. Yeah.
But they'll run out of their own money. It's okay.
Right. They sacrifice it there. And, you know, it's interesting to me because I think the French are showing us what happens if you leave a socialist country alone.
Mm-hmm.
See, we didn't sanction France because they had gone socialist.
Right.
What ends up happening, the natural progression is you take a very successful country like France,
mm-hmm.
then they elect these idiots who start giving away stuff for free. They slide into socialism. And then after a period of time, it took them a little while, but after a period of time, the people go, what the hell? This is not the utopia that you sold us. And now for 26 weeks, they've been out on the streets and they have repealed taxes. Macron has had to go back on stuff. They are questioning the socialist model. That's how countries handle their own business.
Right.
But to Mike Pompeo and John Bolton and the rest of the neocon warmongers in Washington, D.C., they think, oh, no, we need to go in there and tip them over the edge into complete chaos. And out of that will blossom democracy.
Right. And freedom will always find a way. It doesn't matter. It's always going to find a way. Now, it might take some countries longer than others. You know, France, it looks like they're trying to swing back in the right direction now. And Venezuela, they're going to implode on themselves. We don't have to speed up the process.
Right.
You know, that's fine. And it's okay for them to spend every dollar they have and implode and then build up a strong, free society. We don't have to help them
right.
do that.
Well, if they didn't have boatloads of oil, we wouldn't be helping.
Oh, no,
them do
we would not care. And that's the same thing like with Iran and Iraq. Like, we wouldn't be over there.
Well, we didn't go into Sweden. We didn't blast the Swedish government when they took a thing, because obviously there's no herring lobbyist in Washington, D.C. that want us to go up there and corner the herring market, I guess, in Sweden.
Can you believe they're oppressing their people?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's just Sweden. We're not
yeah, that's just Sweden. And Sweden, again, Sweden is taking a jog back towards capitalism.
Right.
Sweden became a successful country on capitalistic things, did the same thing. It's that theory. You may know it better than me. You know, the stages of, you know, freedom, you know, revolution, and then you get freedom, and then you get prosperity, and then you start giving it away, and you
right.
slide back down. We're deep in that slide now. Yeah. But Sweden got prosperous through free market type stuff, and then they squandered it going socialist, and now they're making a U-turn too.
And again, as I say, freedom will always find a way. Hopefully it's in a peaceful way, and you recognize, hey, this ain't working. Americans need to wake up, because we are a socialist country. I do not want anybody to tell me that we're not.
No,
we are.
Yeah.
We absolutely are.
Right.
And we are.
Well, I guess that may be a little, to call us a socialist country, what we've done is implement large socialist policies.
A vast majority of them.
Yes. I mean, a lot of them. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the military, the Federal Reserve.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's a large centrally planned economy like socialism.
We might not have crossed the goal line, but we're 5 yards away.
Yeah. Well, and what it is it's the Democrats trying to drive us there at 100 miles an hour, and the Republicans leaning over and just tapping on the brake a little bit every
right.
now and then.
Oh, let's just go 90.
Yeah,
y'all are going a little fast.
Yeah, yeah. If we go slower, people won't notice we're racing towards yeah. certain ruin. All right, got to take a break. Talking to Ron Morris, Mississippi Libertarian Party. We'll probably get more into Iraq. I don't know. You know, today's show, I don't even think I've really gotten into my notes. So that's something. I can really run off at the mouth. I'll be right back. Stay with us.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being.
Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Ron, we had some interesting news yesterday, I thought. Anyway, I am looking for a 2020 presidential campaign race that is entertaining. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have much faith in the process of governance from, you know what I mean? And I'm disappointed in Donald Trump. I don't hate him. I voted for him, much to your chagrin, I'm sure. But right. I did vote for him. But I'm disappointed that not more stuff has changed, particularly in the foreign policy stuff. But yesterday, Mark Cuban, I guess, was on CNBC or something and said he didn't really say he's considering. He said it would take a lot of the stars would have to really align or things would have to be really bad. But he says none of the Democrats that are out there right now can beat Trump, which is probably true. So he said he may, if things are that bad, he may jump into it. I think that would be really entertaining.
It would be an entertainment show for sure.
Yeah, you know, Cuban, most people now know him, I guess, from Shark Tank, and then he's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. You know, he's a guy that is I don't think he's dumb. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's a reasonable, intelligent guy, but didn't he sell what was the name of his website? Was like broadcaster.com or he had a web. I think he sold it to Yahoo for $5.7 billion. It was right. Essentially a rudimentary website with a good web name, and he made like $5 billion. So the guy is just so full of himself, like he's a genius. I mean he is one of those right place right time guys, but it's allowed him to buy the Mavericks, which gives him certain social standing, and so he believes his own hype. He believes that he is this real business tycoon,
right.
But he lucked into that thing.
Yeah, it's a little overinflated ego. You know, he's definitely pumping his own chest.
Yeah,
for sure.
And he's got a very similar ego to Donald Trump in that he is not afraid to say anything. I mean, you can watch him on Shark Tank where he'll just tell somebody they're being stupid. He makes comments in public that are pretty, pretty direct towards people.
Right.
The kind of, and I got to tell you,
and he likes to tweet.
I would love to have that screw you money myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh man,
just where you just didn't have to play the game with anybody. Now I'm not mean, I'm not a jerk. I mean, even when callers call here and disagree with me, I don't ever try to be, except for the one guy who said that we should execute everybody who does drugs. I was mean to him.
Yeah,
but I'm typically not mean to anybody, but it would just be nice just to be able to have your opinions with no, you know, because a lot of us have to say, well, maybe I shouldn't talk about that because it could affect my business relationships or whatever else. That kind of freedom to just go, I don't care if everybody gets mad at me. You know, that kind of thing. That would be kind of nice.
Oh, that would be. I could just taste it, too. I'd piss a lot of people off.
I mean, it definitely could do that. Right. But Cuban, yeah, that would just be a toe-to-toe slug match with Donald Trump, where I think next in line to me is a Joe Biden, Donald Trump, because their styles are very different. Mm-hmm. And I think Biden would have a real problem handling Trump.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's as outspoken enough to really battle Trump.
And he's gaffe-filled. He makes a whole bunch of gaffes and says dumb stuff. And God, so far, Trump's only given him the name. It's like Sleepy Joe, isn't it? Isn't that, I guess instead of Creepy Joe, he's Sleepy Joe.
Right.
But you know Trump would go after the touchy-feely stuff.
Right.
And I think he could knock Biden off of his game pretty quickly. And it would be interesting to see Biden try to respond.
I just love those memes. Like, I can't. Like, I'm kind of addicted to the Joe Biden memes. They're just hilarious to me.
Yeah. He's and, you know, it is true, though, for people like us that are actually kind of serious about politics and everything, that the Creepy Joe stuff is, I think, is a real problem. I think he's got issues.
Absolutely.
But he's a corrupt, entrenched swamp creature is really what he is. And these things with his son and his contracts with Ukraine and with China show just a real level of elitist level corruption with him, which, you know, should be where everybody's focusing on.
But nobody cares about it. And the real issues, real policy, real corruption, nobody cares anything about that. Now, the way his hair flies over and when he's getting off a plane or, you know, that's what they care about.
Did you see the Beto O'Rourke yesterday got a haircut live stream? Did you catch that?
I failed to watch that, but I did see it.
I'll try to find the link today.
Like, I mean, that's got to be, you know, historical.
Yeah. I was going to spend some time with my kids tonight, but I think if I can find that Beto O'Rourke haircut, I'll definitely choose to do that. And the funny thing is, too, you know, I think he just went on The View of Beto O'Rourke trying to reintroduce himself. That cracks me up. That's never a good sign. No, when you can't get enough traction within the first 6 weeks of your presidential campaign, you got a problem.
You're already tanking. Like, it's, you might as well just resign. Not doing this.
Yeah, and he had to backtrack on a bunch of the stuff. And the fact in the United States that The View is where all these Democratic candidates have to start. It's like they have to pass through the gauntlet of Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg to get any credibility. Are you kidding me? Is this where the Democratic average voter is?
It wouldn't be worth it for me. I couldn't kiss the pinky ring to do that. You know,
You're listening to the crowds at The View, when somebody says something completely asinine, you know, we've got 10 years before our planet erupts into flames, they just go crazy.
That's just the push button that they have, I guess. Right?
I would really hope so, but I've been to these shows, and you hear a lot of hysterical women out there really jumping up and down for some of these people. I was a big Parks and Rec fan, Parks and Recreation.
Oh, yes.
But that was the thing that really bugged me, was that Amy Poehler is a big Democrat, or she's a big liberal. She's a great actress, really funny show, and they had a libertarian on there, Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson, yes, absolutely.
And he was the cool, you know, they didn't.
He was a good one.
he was, and they didn't make him look like a complete jerk, you know. He stuck to his beliefs, and everybody kind of admired his thoughtfulness. And he believed in gold, too. He's had all his money in gold. But her worship of Joe Biden, like, that was her, you know, what do they call that when you've got one person, even if you're married, if you happen to meet him, you could have sex with him.
Right.
And that was hers. It was Joe Biden. And every time I heard that, I just went, oh gosh, it's just the worship of power. But and who else is running? What I also find interesting is that Tulsi Gabbard is running for president. I would disagree with Tulsi Gabbard on many of her. She's progressive, a lot of things.
Absolutely.
But she's fantastic on foreign policy.
100%, but she is very, very favorable, in my opinion, on foreign policy.
Yeah, better than most Republicans.
Oh, absolutely. And
99% of Republicans.
Yes, I would say that, absolutely. And she doesn't want to be in the foreign entanglements, which nobody, left, right, middle, anybody, should realize that this has to come to an end. We can't fund this.
It's coming to an end one way or the other. Yeah, it'd be nice if we got out ahead of it, but we're just going to reap the whirlwind of it. What's interesting about Tulsi Gabbard is that I would say that 85% of the people listening right now don't know who that is because they are Ron Pauling her.
Right.
You know, when Ron Paul ran in 2008 and 2012, 2008, they really tried to minimize him and hide him. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't cover him. He would lead in online polls. They would just take his name off the poll. Right. I mean, I was involved in that campaign. It was fascinating. Tulsi Gabbard the other day, I can't remember who it was. It was on one of these shows. I don't know if it's NPR, Democracy Now, or something like that. And they had the former Camille something. I think her name's Camille. She used to be in charge of Planned Parenthood. And she was talking to the host, and they were talking about women in politics. And what about all these women that are running for president? And she said, yes, it's amazing. We've got three great or four. I can't remember what it is. Anyway, it was one shy of Tulsi. Like, they just didn't even acknowledge her existence. So the Democrats are trying to crush Tulsi Gabbard.
And if you don't believe this game is not rigged,
yeah,
I mean, it's Ron Paul, her, I mean, why? I just get infuriated.
And it's strictly because, and the funny thing is about that to me is that Tulsi Gabbard is on the left. She's a Democrat from Hawaii.
Right.
The left used to be anti-war. Not long ago, like 10 years ago.
Well, I think they were at least claiming it. But, you know, it's usually when a Republican's in office.
Right, but Barack Obama
Oh, just, he bombed. Bombed for you, bombed for you, bombed for you. Right. Did not care.
Drones. He was the drone king.
Yeah, he was a drone king.
Right.
And got a Nobel Peace Prize. How in the world does that happen?
I know. Talk about Sweden should be ashamed of part of his past. That's it. The Nobel Peace Prize for Barack Obama, based on some speeches.
Yes, just rhetoric.
I got to tell you, though, now that I think about it, I should be up for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, I mean,
I talk anti-war and peace almost every day on the radio. How do I get in on that?
Yeah, I'll nominate you.
Okay. I think somebody should. Yeah, I think there should be a movement led. As far as words go, I'm right there with him. All right. Other stuff to talk about. We may go back to some of this Iraq stuff, because I think the developments here are interesting, and most Americans don't know it. Other countries bugging out, and what Iraq is even saying. You know, I don't know. What did we pay for Iraq?
$3 trillion? Oh, yeah. Astronomical. It was. I think it was at least $3 trillion.
Yeah. So we paid $3 trillion for it. How many of our kids did we lose there? 4,000 or 5,000 plus the
one was more than enough.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, however many thousands we have,
and they are not down with being our home base for this Iran thing.
Imagine that. They want no part of war.
Do they not understand what we did for them?
I mean, we just gave them freedom. We bombed them into freedom.
we gave them. A Jeffersonian democracy was my understanding.
Right.
They should have cheered us. We brought them out of the clutches. I mean, how ungrateful do you have to be? We bombed them for 14 years, right. And they're not willing to help us out.
Man, did they ever do those parades? Maybe I missed the parades where they're just saying, oh, thank you, America.
Right. Greeted as liberators. They told us.
Yeah.
And they're telling us again now, right now, with Iran. So, anyway, we'll talk about it when we come back. We're talking to Ron Morris, Mississippi Libertarian Party. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, back here at the Mike Madison Show, Ron Morris, our biweekly visitor from the Mississippi Libertarian Party. Let's see what else I had that I thought was kind of interesting. The Trump tax returns, I've got an idea for Donald Trump, a very, very bold and self-preservation move that I think most libertarians can get behind. What if he just, you know, because they are putting the pressure on him on these tax returns.
Right.
Something's going on there. I won't get into it. He's hiding something.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't even think it's some big criminal thing. I think it may be an ego thing. Maybe he's not as rich as he says he is or something.
It's definitely. I really do think it's an ego thing. Yeah. You know, he's one to say, well, you know, I'm a successful billionaire.
Yeah.
And that might not be the case.
Yeah, he might not be worth as much. But something's there because, I mean, this is now 3 years we've been having to listen to these things, and usually most things, if he were to release these things and it was just he wasn't as rich as he said he was, or he didn't give money to charity, or he took big losses that might be politically, they would only hurt him for what? I mean, that news cycle, right, with the way things are going, would only last probably 5 to 10 days, and it would have been over 2 or 3 years ago, but he's still hanging in there with these things.
Yeah, and there's something there. I just don't know what it is.
Well, what if he just came out and said, no IRS.
Oh, cha-ching.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Protects himself, yes, and almost single-handedly with that one action guarantees his reelection in 2020.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. You can't get my tax returns from an IRS that is closed.
I would be touting Trump on the show.
Absolutely. Yes. I would be the biggest cheerleader. I will put the MAGA hat on.
I will. I'll buy a couple.
Yeah, if he'll fire John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, I'm kind of waiting for that. I think Trump's... I said yesterday, or day before yesterday, I can't remember, I think there's a coup going on in the Trump administration right now. While everybody's focusing on the James Comey, Peter Strzok, Mueller report coup of his election time, I think there's a coup going on right now with his foreign policy team. I think that they are not informing him, that they are taking unilateral actions and not informing him. And when he came out, they announced this 120,000 troop level for if we were attacked by Iran. And they asked Trump about it. And he might have just been deflecting because he didn't want to talk about it. He probably knows that's not going to be real popular to send 120,000 of our kids to Iran now because nothing's happened yet. They haven't. Right. They have not done the full Monty false flag yet.
Oh, yeah. They're waiting on it. Yeah. They're already doing the tankers, right?
Right. They did the tankers thing. That was kind of a nibble. Hey, right. Look what they're doing. They're being right. aggressive. You know, and they'll roll out a big false flag soon here, maybe in the next few weeks.
It's coming.
Right. So that's not out there. So he kind of brushed it aside by saying the New York Times was fake news. But I kind of watched that, and I thought that he got caught kind of by surprise. I have a feeling discussions for troop levels and all the planning for Iran, Venezuela and North Korea are probably going on behind his back. I think his foreign policy team has gone rogue, and they're setting everything up. This is what I imagine. They're setting everything up, setting everything into motion, not telling him about it, so that when they cue a false flag, when they blame Iran for something, they can go to him and say, Mr. President, we must respond.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, they'll have all the plans for how to get the troops over there. And who, you know, yeah, they'll have all of the bombing targets right. ready and all that stuff. And then Trump will be back. He's getting backed into a corner, and I don't even think he knows it.
Right. And because that team he has is all about power and control. They love control of the situation. And so I believe you're right with that. I think that they are manipulating this whole situation with Trump and really trying to find themselves in a place of power for they can move these pawns around the risk map.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's what they're doing.
Well, and they, you know, John Bolton's been doing this for forever. I think it's naive for us to think that John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, the CIA director, Gina Haspel, is a deep state
right.
swamp creature that trained under John Brennan, Obama's CIA. There was no change in power there.
No.
Christopher Wray at the FBI. I mean, just none of these people changed as far as the kind of person that's there. To think that they would not orchestrate things behind the scenes. And to his credit, Trump can't pay attention to every little
right.
bit of minutia. That he's got a whole lot on his plate, so he can't do that. And I think that he seems very withdrawn from Venezuela. He doesn't make a lot of comments on Venezuela or Iran necessarily until
right.
he gets into it. All he said about Iran is, if they attack us, they're going to, you know, the same thing he always says, we're going to unleash the whirlwind. They're never right. going to have been beaten as badly as we beat them if they do anything to us. But he doesn't understand what's going on right now, or he hasn't been told. We are poking our finger in their eye right. over and over and over again. All he's going to hear about is the response,
right.
and he's not being briefed on what all the aggression that we're doing is.
And that's very untrump-like for him not to be spewing,
right.
you know,
yeah.
hitting Venezuela up. If that's something that he's wanting to do,
right.
he would be all about it, tweet. So I believe that is something up there. I wish we could lobby me to be his foreign policy director.
All right, I'll get Nobel Peace Prize, and you can be NSA.
I think we're good with that. Yes,
yeah,
make that happen.
That would work. That would change the world for better. But I also have said, you know, my cat.
Mm-hmm.
I said this yesterday. I could put my cat into a cage, which he does not like. Howls.
Mm-hmm.
He'd
right.
howl all the way to Moscow. It'd be very mm-hmm. annoying for any of the crew that had to be around him. But I could put my cat into a cage and send him to Moscow. Mike Pompeo just had a meeting with Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Pompeo comes out and does nothing but criticize Russia. And it was a tense meeting and all this other stuff. I could have sent my cat over there and opened the cage and let my cat rub up against Lavrov. And Lavrov could have pet him and put the cage back in and flown. And we would have better relations with Russia than our Secretary of State.
Imagine that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. And it's a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. I mean, they do it for just political theater.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Well, why aren't Americans catching on more?
They don't care. The apathy in this country runs so deep.
But I don't know. It's you know, I had somebody on my Facebook page say the other day that they had been battling their, you know, in some other groups or friends or whatever, because they were calling out, like, these attacks on the ships as being false flags
mm-hmm.
and that we have no business being going against Iran. And they said they were just getting crushed, hammered by all these people that were, I guess, vocally in support of the fact that we're going to take down these mullahs or whatever they're saying.
Right.
But they're engaged. They're actually encouraging these wars, even though, I mean, You have to have the memory of a goldfish to not realize what a disaster the last four or five have been within recent memory.
Gulf of Tonkin, I mean, that's a, yeah, that, there
can,
it is.
You can keep going back. Tomorrow's False Flag Friday. I've decided I'm going to do a recap. Every major war has been started on a false flag. Every single one.
Mm-hmm. And maybe their memory is just like a goldfish. I don't know. I don't know how you can get people to care without having their marching orders given to them by Fox News or CNN or NBC. I don't know how. It takes effort. It takes just a little bit. And you don't have to be a scholar, but it takes a little bit of research. It takes a little bit of independent thinking, but that takes energy that most people want to watch sports or watch soap operas or
and Fox News.
Fox News, it's the same thing as soap operas, but.
Well, I admitted yesterday that I actually went to the Bahamas on the dime of a pharmaceutical company, which is funny because I'm not a fan of the pharmaceutical industry. But I also went not only on the dime of a pharmaceutical company, but I went with a Democrat.
Oh, man.
But she is somebody that when we get into any conversations, she says things like, really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. She would say, that's interesting. I never heard that.
Right.
She might say, where did you hear that? And I could show her. Mm-hmm. Like, she had this mind where she was willing to accept that she didn't know everything rather than the majority of people who just would want me to shut up so that they could say, yeah, but Hillary, you know what I mean? They're so closed-minded. So it was refreshing not only to have a free trip to the Bahamas on my sworn enemy, but to be able to interact with a Democrat who could actually think for themselves, because there's very few on either side of the aisle that are willing to accept new facts and change their mind rather than just defend the talking points, the propaganda.
Well, and I used to be one.
Now, yeah, me too.
And, I used to get my march orders, used to drink the Kool-Aid, and it just took a little bit of me being woken up, been shaken, woken up. Like, this is not right. And I don't see why there's not more people that don't look around where we're at today and see we're not right.
Well, they do. But the problem is that everybody on the left thinks it's all the Nazi Donald Trump's fault. Mm-hmm. They've just so badly misdiagnosed the problem.
Right.
And they use these attacks. Donald Trump's a racist. Just because they hear him over and over. There's no evidence that Donald Trump is a racist.
Not at all.
None. That's zero. Right. Trump's got his faults. I criticize him here all the time. It's not on racism. Right. It's not, and so they just get their marching orders, and they think that all the problems we have are the Republicans and Donald Trump's fault.
Right.
And Republicans, still, I'm trying to break this habit of people, because I get emails all the time from people that are still pointing to things that Obama did. Like Obama was the problem. Obama was terrible.
Right. And I agree. You're never going to hear me celebrate Obama.
I mean,
it's just he didn't do much for.
He was just he was a piece of the puzzle.
Right.
But a lot of the people that came into the Obama administration came from the Bush administration, that came from the Clinton administration, that came from the Bush administration. I mean, people are still of this idea that it's the other side's fault, and that's what keeps us at this loggerheads.
Right. And the libtard statement and things like that. And then, it's like, guys, let's quit name calling. Let's look at policy. What are we actually doing? They are really bending everybody over of their policy. And we won't wake up and look at it.
It's so funny to me that conservatives will look at 8 years of Barack Obama and see the ridiculousness. If you criticized Obama, you were immediately a racist.
Right.
And we knew that was ridiculous. I didn't hate Obama because he was black. I disagreed with everything Obama did because he was a statist, authoritarian, cutout stooge.
Absolutely.
And so Republicans and conservatives would say, well, that's so silly. They just call us racist, just name calling.
Right.
But if you go onto a comment board and you criticize Donald Trump,
His policy.
You're right. Yeah, if you disagree with anything Donald Trump does, they call you a libtard Hillary supporter.
Right. Would you rather have Hillary? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I don't want Hillary up there. And I also don't want any status up there, any authoritative person. I want us to do what's right. What's in the best interest of individuals in America?
That's
ludicrous.
So old-fashioned.
Something crazy on the air? I'm sorry.
You were so old-fashioned. The people. Holy cow. Get with the game. All right, we'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
right, Ron, another fast hour in the books. Anything else? I was going to play, I found the Beto haircut. I thought that would be something really exciting to go out on, but I think I should probably just dedicate my entire Friday show to it. Maybe I could get my own haircut up here.
Yeah, and because I've got to hold off, and no spoiler alerts for that, because me and my wife have a date night tonight, and we're going to watch it.
I'm not going to, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but at the end of the video, his hair's a little shorter. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to save you some, I hate to spoil the whole thing. I don't have a whole lot else to discuss. Is there anything going on with y'all at Mississippi Libertarian Party? Are we about to break through?
I was really proud of Clay County. The county affiliate defeated the Kratom, I guess that's how you say it.
Kratom.
Kratom. Defeated the ban. They went to the board and talked and presented and actually got the whole board to switch to not vote to make it illegal.
Really?
In the county and in the city of I believe, West Point. And they're actually going and doing in Tupelo and Lee County too the same thing, and they're voicing their opinion. So we are making changes.
Well, that's interesting because it's only six counties I think in Mississippi that have outlawed kratom.
Right.
Yeah. So that's one of them down, and you think you might get a couple more.
Yeah. So and they're fighting hard. So I'm really proud of them. They, you know, kind of give a shout out to Clay County Libertarian Party. They've done well.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's interesting, and so much of it, it's a little lost on this show so much because I get really interested in the big national stuff because that's where the stories are pretty easy to tell. Mm-hmm. And that we do have a big 24/7 national news media that makes these stories in people's lives, and that's right. Where I try to kind of break it down. But that's really where you make a lot of your biggest impacts is right. On local stuff.
And I agree. And I think if more people would get involved in local politics, I mean really local, city, county, you could change the world. But you've got to start there. You can't start being, I'm going to be president tomorrow and change it over.
Well, I talked to Jamison Taylor from Mississippi Center for Public Policy and mm-hmm. stuff about it. Just seems like Mississippi is just ripe for big time changes, and that's mm-hmm. what you do. They've talked about some prosperity zones. They're looking at some of those, maybe down in Costa Rica or something, and implementing them here. It just seems like on the local level, we could. I want somebody to explain to me why we can't get out of 50th and everything in Mississippi. God knows we got to. We're not going to lose anything by trying.
I want there to be a medical sanctuary city. So any right to try. I want one city in Mississippi. And think how prosperous they would. You don't have to worry about it's FDA approved, nothing. If you're willing to get treatment for whatever you want to, whatever treatment you want to put into your own body.
Right.
You could do it.
Like a naturopath. You know, right. we can't even have naturopaths in Mississippi. They will not allow the licensing of a natural health doctor.
But it would take a whole community to come together. And we've flirted around with an experiment with that. It's hard to get a whole community behind an idea, especially if it's not your brother or sister that's having the problems.
Right.
It's really hard to have that. But, I mean, can you imagine if you had cancer patients that could have treatments that could possibly cure them?
Yeah.
And, you know, it would be insane. Think of the prosperity we would have from that.
Yeah. Well, people are so brainwashed. They really feel like that the government is this. I mean, I did a whole show on it yesterday that the, you know, corruption at the FDA that was allowing, some FDA inspectors went to foreign countries mm-hmm. and looked at these pharmaceutical plants, and the conditions were just horrible. And these FDA inspectors doing their job came mm-hmm. back here and said, hey, these big drug companies have got these manufacturing facilities over in China that there's a lot wrong.
Right.
And as soon as it got to the top of the FDA, where all the revolving door is between the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies, they stopped it. You know, and so everybody thinks that the government is this protector of theirs. That we can't just allow Wild West treatments. We can't just allow people to access medical marijuana. We can't. The government needs to monitor all this stuff. No, they don't. They're not monitoring anything. They're just taking.
And so Dr. Mary Ruart, she has a book called Death by Regulation, and it slams the FDA.
Yeah, I need to have her on the show.
Oh, she's amazing. And I'd love to get y'all connected because she breaks it down and just talks about the compassion of libertarianism and how getting rid of these regulations, allowing people to seek their own treatment, that's compassion.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to be able to seek the way they want to treat their own body.
Yeah, well, you would think, but I just try to grow, try to give raw milk to your neighbors in the old USSA, and you'll have a SWAT team coming down on you.
Right.
It's absolutely insane. That's how far we've fallen. All right, Ron, your website real quick. We got 5 seconds.
www.mslp.org.
MSLP.org. Ron Morris, Mississippi Libertarian Party. Thanks, y'all. See you tomorrow. Bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.